Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 28. Please repeat. Evam.
Evam.
Janam.
Janam.
Napatitam.
Napatitam.
Prabhava,
Prabhava,
Ahikupe,
Ahikupe,
Kama,
Kama,
Abhikamam,
Abhikamam,
Anu,
Anu,
Ya,
Ya,
Prapatam,
Prapatam,
Prasangat,
Prasangat,
Kritva,
Kritva,
Atmasat,
Atmasat,
Sura,
Sura,
Rishina,
Rishina,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Grihita,
Grihita,
Sa,
Sa,
Aham,
Aham,
Katam,
Katam,
Nu,
Nu,
Vishvaje,
Vishvaje,
Tava,
Tava,
Brityasevam,
Brityasevam.
Evam janam napatitam prabhavahikupe kamabhikamam anuya prapatan prasangat kritvatmasat surasina bhagavan grahita soham katam nu vishraje tavabrityasevam. Evam janam napatitam prabhavahikupe kamabhikamam anuya prapatan prasangat kritvatmasat surasina bhagavan grahita soham katam nu vishraje tava britya sevam. Evam,
evam,
thus,
thus,
janam,
janam,
people in general,
people in general,
napatitam,
napatitam,
fallen,
fallen,
prabhava,
prabhava,
of material existence,
of material existence,
ahikupe,
ahikupe,
in a blind well,
in a blind well,
full of snakes.
Full of snakes.
Kama.
Kama.
Abhikamam.
Abhikamam.
Desiring the sense objects.
Desiring the sense objects.
Anu.
Anu.
Following.
Following.
Ya.
Ya.
The person who.
The person who.
Prapatan.
Prapatan.
Falling down.
Falling down.
In this condition.
In this condition.
Prasangat.
Prasangat.
Because of bad association.
Because of bad association.
Or increased association with material desires.
Or increased association with material desires.
Kritva.
Kritva.
Atmasat.
Atmasat.
Causing me.
Causing me.
To acquire spiritual qualities.
To acquire spiritual qualities.
Like himself.
Like himself.
Sri Narada.
Sri Narada.
Surarishina.
Surarishina.
By the great saintly person.
By the great saintly person.
Narada.
Narada.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Grihita.
Grihita.
Accepted.
Accepted.
Sa.
Sa.
That person.
That person.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Katam.
Katam.
How.
How.
Nu.
Nu.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Visrije.
Visrije.
Can give up.
Can give up.
Tava.
Tava.
Your.
Your.
Brityasevam.
Brityasevam.
The service of your pure devotees.
The service of your pure devotees.
Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Please repeat. My dear Lord.
My dear Lord.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Because of my association with material desires.
Because of my association with material desires.
One after another.
One after another.
I was gradually falling into a blind well.
I was gradually falling into a blind well.
Full of snakes.
Full of snakes.
Following the general populace.
Following the general populace.
But your servant Narada Muni.
But your servant Narada Muni.
Kindly accepted me as his disciple.
Kindly accepted me as his disciple.
And instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position.
And instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position.
Therefore, my first duty is to serve him.
My first duty is to serve him.
How could I leave his service?
How could I leave his service?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas Janame Janame Hai A Abhilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master, so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham Katam Nu Rishuje Tavabritya Sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Translation again. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Devacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Well, before I begin, I must share one realization I just had as I was reciting the prayers about Vaisheshika Prabhu and how powerful he is as a Sankirtan devotee. Although I myself was a Sankirtan devotee and have been trying to serve Srila Prabhupada for 30-some years, even I have been bewildered by his Sankirtan potency, because I came here to hear him give the class, but he changed me up. And instead of him giving the class, I've ended up giving the class. So now I know how powerful he is. He can bewilder anyone. and engage them in Krishna service. The first time I met Vaisheshika Prabhu, I didn't actually know who he was, but he came to the Juhu temple and he led a kirtan. And I had never seen him before, at least to my knowledge, but I was very inspired by his kirtan. And when he led the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I got another impression of his kirtans, and then I remembered the first time in, and after the kirtan in Juhu, I approached him, and then he introduced himself, and then I found out who he was. I mean, found out what his name was. So this verse, was actually quoted by Srila Prabhupada to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I, in turn, quoted the same verse in one letter to Srila Prabhupada. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada had fallen ill in Mayapur, and I had actually left Mayapur a little early to come to Bombay because we were arranging a Pandal program for Srila Prabhupada. A Pandal it's like a big tent. And, you know, there's a stage and usually at the front, well, it can be arranged differently, but there'll be an area with dharis or Indian carpets on the ground where people can sit. And then there will also be to the sides or in the back chairs where people can sit. And we were really organizing the Pandal for Srila Prabhupada. But the devotees in Mayapur were concerned about his health, and they were really trying to keep him there. So anyway, I wrote Srila Prabhupada. I also quoted a verse, another verse from the seventh canto that says that unless the human society takes the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, they cannot become Krishna conscious. So I wrote to Srila Prabhupada that unless you come here, there's no way that the people can become Krishna conscious. So I don't know exactly what was going on. I just know the devotees there were trying to keep him. And I was sending letters, and Prabhupada wanted to come. He insisted on coming, and he came. But actually, he was very weak. I didn't realize how weak he was. So we arranged for him to stay at a life member's house in Bombay, which was closer to the site of the Pandal. And every night, a prominent person from a different field of activity was invited as a special guest. I don't remember all of the special guests. I remember one, at the time I remember one, his name was Dr. K.K. Date, who was a cardiologist. He came. But the big one was S.B. Chavan, who was the chief minister of Maharashtra.
It's on.
So, at the time, there was great political upheaval in India because Indira Gandhi had withdrawn the emergency and declared elections, and she was defeated by the Janata Party. And S.B. Chavan was a member of the Congress Party, which was Indira Gandhi's party. So, you know, when she was defeated at the polls, then his position became weak, and the opposition tried to replace him. So we didn't know whether he was going to be able to make it as the chief guest. And if he did make it, we didn't even know if he was still going to be the chief minister. But but in the end he came, and he was still the chief minister. And Srila Prabhupada spoke very nicely to him in his lecture. And in his lecture he said that that as long as we're in the material world, there will be upheavals. He said specifically when we're in politics, there will be upheavals. But we have to tolerate them and continue with our real duty, which is Krishna consciousness. We should not forget about our real duty because of the political upheavals or other upheavals. And when Srila Prabhupada spoke at the end, I mean, I think every single devotee in the pandal had the same perception. Although he was fit, he was like already very weak and emaciated, but at the end when he spoke, he became like a lion. We all felt he had actually become just like Lord Nrisimhadeva. It was almost like Lord Nrisimhadeva entered his body and animated him. It was just incredible. And also at the time, Srila Prabhupada had Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj give a scientific presentation. And there were slides and an explanation, and Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. I mean, he was just so pleased that he gave the presentation. And some of the devotees felt that the audience couldn't understand what he was saying. But Srila Prabhupada was pleased anyway. And, of course, as Prabhupada said on other occasions, people don't really understand what the mundane scientists are saying either. They just show, you know, they make some diagrams and formulas and use big bombastic words. And the audience or the public in general really cannot follow what they're saying. But because they have graphs and pictures from microscopes and telescopes and different formulas, and they use big words, so the people think, oh, they must know something that we don't know. So Srila Prabhupada felt the same way about our scientific presentation. Even if people don't really understand what they're saying, at least they'll think, well, they also have graphs and figures and diagrams and formulas, so they're as good as the other one. and they're speaking in harmony with the Bhagavad Gita, so why not accept them? It's funny, on another occasion, One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada that, we criticize the scientists for giving post-dated checks, in the future, we'll create life, or in the future we'll, populate the moon, or whatever. But someone could say that we're also giving a post-dated check, because we say in the future you'll go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's true. But the difference is that we're telling the truth and they're blind. So that was... That was the first Bombay Pandal. Then later, in my attempts in Krishna consciousness, the verse also took on significance, special significance, the verse in the purport, because I started to spend time in Vrindavan, and I came in contact with the idea that one should, desire to serve Radha and Krishna in a direct relationship, even to the point where, the idea is that one could sort of like, in a way you could say, jump over one's spiritual master. To try to serve Radha and Krishna directly. And of course, the idea was not really proper for us. And then later, when I read this verse in purport, especially sentences here, one should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he's automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. And of course, the basic idea of the verse, and how could I give up the service of my spiritual master? So what Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, and what Prahlad Maharaj says in the verse, are the same, and that is that by serving the spiritual master and following the instructions of the spiritual master, one is automatically, offered the direct service of the Lord in due course. But one should not try to jump over the spiritual master or think that one, has access to some knowledge that will make him equal to the spiritual master or even greater than the spiritual master. And that has been a problem with some of the devotees who've learned Sanskrit. They felt that they had direct access to the scriptures, like Srila Prabhupada, and they could get knowledge from the scriptures directly, and then follow what they thought the scriptures said. But that is not the process. That is not the process. We should always remain the humble servant of the spiritual master. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, we should always feel ourselves to be fools before the spiritual master. And he often quoted Lord Chaitanya's statement from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru More Murki Deki Kari Lashashana, that my spiritual master called me a fool, and he chastised me. So Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But still, he accepted the position of being a fool before his spiritual master. Even otherwise, he was, you know, the most learned scholar in India. He had defeated Vijay Keshava Kashmiri. But still, before his spiritual master, he felt himself to be a fool, and he was ready to be chastised by him. So Srila Prabhupada said that should always be the attitude of the disciple, that he's a fool before his spiritual master, and therefore he's ready to be chastised by him. And if one always maintains that attitude, then he can progress. And as soon as he thinks that he's beyond being chastised by the spiritual master, that he knows as much as the spiritual master, more, then he's fallen. And there Srila Prabhupada told the story of the yogi and the mouse, which probably many of you know, but some of you don't, so I'll repeat it. Once there was a yogi, and a mouse came to him and told him, I want a benediction from you, what a blessing from you. So the yogi said, well, what do you want? So he said, I'm being harassed by a cat, so I want you to make me into a cat. So the yogi blessed him, you become a cat. After some time, the cat came to the yogi and said, I'm being harassed by a dog. So, what do you want? Want to become a dog. Okay? Become a dog. Then after some time, the dog came to the yogi and said, now I'm afraid of the tiger. So, you want to become a tiger? Yes. So the yogi blessed him. You become a tiger. As soon as he became a tiger, he started to look at the yogi as if he was going to like pounce on him and devour him. And immediately the yogi said, Puna Musika Baba, again you become a mouse. And he became a mouse again. So Srila Prabhupada told the story to suggest that the disciple, by the mercy of the spiritual master, can become more and more qualified in devotional service. You could say you can become bigger and bigger in devotional service. But if then he thinks, oh, I can take the place of the spiritual master, then Puna Musika Baba, again, he becomes a mouse. He becomes what he was. So we always have to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and that will keep us safe, and that will be the proper position from which we can make advancement. Now, what we were before, that's also described here. We were following one material desire after the other. And as the Sanskrit suggests, kama abhi kamam, that one material desire leads to another. Ordinary people think, they don't even really think, they just believe that by trying to fulfill their desire, they will become satisfied. But the fact is that one desire leads to another. You never can reach the end of material desires. And probably we all have some experience, either with ourselves or with others. There's the other story of the other yogi. You're also elevated here. I'm naturally thinking about yogis. But he was living very simply. He just had one kopin, which means like just a piece of cloth, two pieces of cloth that are used to cover one's privy parts. And so at night he would just wash the cloth, and the rest of the time he was basically free for his meditation. So then he had a friend, and his friend suggested, well, why don't you get a second pair of cloth, so that, while the one is drying, you can wear the other, or you don't have to wash them every night. He said, okay, well, that sounds okay. So he got a second pair. And everything was going well, but after some time, while he was wrapped in meditation, a mouse was coming and nibbling on the kopin. So then the yogi consulted his friend, things were going better, but now, there's another problem because a mouse is coming. Now what? So the friend said, oh, you need a cat. The cat will keep the mouse away, and then you'll be completely free to meditate. You won't have any disturbance. So he got a mouse, he got a cat, and it was great. The cat was keeping the mouse away, and he was free to meditate. But after some time, he would hear, meow, meow. So he consulted his friend. Now what? So he said, well, the cat is hungry. You have to feed the cat some milk. So, okay. So he had to go to the market to get milk. So the cat was satisfied. But the problem is he had to go to the market all the time. So he asked his friend, it's such a botheration to go to the market. He said, oh, you need a cow. So, okay, that sounds all right. So he got a cow, and that was great because he could get milk to feed the cat to keep the mouse away. But the problem was he had to take time out of his meditation to milk the cow. So he asked his friend, now what? I have to feed the cow and milk the cow, and it's become a big botheration. Now what do I do? He said, oh, you need a wife. The wife will do everything for you. She'll milk the cow, she'll feed the cat. You won't have to do anything. Well, I don't need to say any more about what happened then. But to make a long story short, he became entangled. And then one night, like he had a vision, and he saw the whole parade, you know. It all began with one extra pair of kopim, and it ended, you know, wife, that was great. She was feeding the cow and milking the cow, but then she wanted a house, you know. So the whole thing. And he realized that it's become diverted. So, so the idea is one desire after the other. You, like Srila Prabhupada said, you have one problem, but then to solve the one problem, you create another bigger problem. And to solve the new problem, you create another even bigger problem. And the problems get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like you said, in the old days, people used to travel in India, by bullock cart. Here they had ox carts, too, or horse-drawn carriages. And life was going on quite, I would say, relatively peacefully and happily. But then, you know, people wanted to be able to travel faster, so then they got the automobile. But then, you know, for the automobile to work, they had to build roads and highways, and then, you know, then that wasn't fast enough, then the airplane, and then it all takes so much energy. I've noticed this, because I lived in India for about 30 years, and coming back here, there's so many conveniences, so many machines, sophisticated machines, and you know, the cars and highways and everything are better than India. So one would think that one would have more time because there's so many time-saving devices. But actually, people have less time. Practically, nobody has any time. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that all the gadgets, which will save time, and if you analyze, like, each gadget in isolation, it probably does save time. But the cumulative result is that no one has any time. It's, you know, and then they have to shop to get the gadgets, and then there's always newer versions and better versions. So, you know, and then they have to work to get the money to buy the gadgets. And so, plain living and high thinking. That's the motto, plain living and high thinking. And, of course, some conveniences actually do save time and they do facilitate service, but the facilities should be, you know, facilities for service. They should be, we should use them, like the yogi. You all must be yogis. I keep coming back to the yogis. The yogis, Bhagavad Gita says that the yogis are like tortoises. When there's need, they extend their senses out of their shells, and when there's no need, they withdraw their senses within. So in the same way, when there's need for service, we extend our senses and engage them in service. And the instruments we get, you know, cars and computers and so on, can be extensions of our senses for service. But they should be under our control. Our senses should be under control, and the extensions of our senses should be under control. And when we don't need to engage for the sake of service, we should draw our senses within and turn our consciousness within, which means specifically chanting. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chanting and hearing about Krishna. And only if there's need for service to further the mission do we extend our senses and interact with the objects of the senses. So here, another important word is ahikupe, blind well full of snakes. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada has said that the body is the blind well that we've fallen into, and that the senses are the snakes, and the snakes are always getting agitated and they want to bite. So that's a very dangerous situation, to be in a blind well surrounded by snakes. But Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati says that one who's gotten the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the senses become like snakes whose fangs have been removed, or whose poison has been removed. And that comes obviously from devotional service. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikena sevanam bhakti uchate. That when we engage the senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses, Krishna, then the senses become purified. And then instead of demanding gratification for themselves, they want to engage in service for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that is bhakti. That is the basic principle of sadhana bhakti, that we use the present senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses, in the service of Krishna. And by such engagement, the senses become purified. And then when they're purified, they're fit to serve the Lord directly. And the service that we engage in with the senses is directed by the spiritual master. So under the direction of the spiritual master, we engage the senses, beginning with the tongue, in chanting the holy names and taking Krishna prasad. And hearing, we engage the ears in hearing about Krishna, we engage the body in cleansing the temple of Krishna, or distributing books. And thus, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the senses are engaged in the proprietor of the senses. They're not our senses. Once Srila Prabhupada said that a pure devotee will take the permission of Krishna before he engages any of his senses, because the senses don't belong to him. He didn't create them. The senses belong to Krishna. So he really has no right to use the senses without Krishna's permission. So the pure devotee will always take Krishna's permission first. And if Krishna doesn't give permission, then he won't engage the senses in any activity. But because in the beginning we do not have direct perception of Krishna, so we are guided how to engage our senses in Krishna's service by the spiritual master. And then when we're purified by the process of sadhana bhakti, and by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, come to the stage of bhava bhakti, then our senses are purified and our minds are purified to the stage where we actually can see Krishna. And when bhava bhakti becomes more mature and condensed, then it becomes prema bhakti. And when we come to the stage of prema bhakti, we can actually enter into the pastimes of Krishna. But even then, we still remain the servant of the servant of the servant. Gopi Bharata Padakamaya or Dasa Dasa Anudas. Because even in the spiritual world, there is a hierarchy of servants. And even in the spiritual world, we serve under the guidance and direction of the more intimate servants of Krishna. So the principle of being the servant of the servant continues, even after liberation. And here too, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that his spiritual master, it's the same pastime in essence. You know, Guru More Murki Deki Karila Shashana. He said, "You're a fool," and he chastised me. And he told me, this is Ishwara Puri speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you are not fit to discuss Vedanta. You're just fit to chant the holy name. So you just chant the holy name and don't worry about Vedanta. So he followed the instructions of the spiritual master and chanted the holy name. And after some time, he found that sometimes he was laughing, sometimes he was crying, sometimes he was rolling on the floor, sometimes his hairs were standing on end, sometimes his voice was faltering. He was manifesting so many symptoms. So again, he went to his spiritual master and inquired that, Guru Maharaj, you told me to chant the holy name and I've done as you said, but now I think I'm becoming mad because I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm dancing, I'm falling on the floor. I don't know what's happening. I think I've become mad. And then his spiritual master said, "My dear child, I'm very pleased. You're manifesting symptoms of love of Godhead, which is the fruit of pure chanting." And Srila Prabhupada comments that such symptoms are not possible in a conditioned soul. Such symptoms are only manifest in the body of a liberated soul. So he says, even though Lord Chaitanya was liberated, still he consulted his spiritual master. He didn't think that he was beyond consulting his spiritual master, even in the liberated condition. So that, in fact, Prabhupada said, that is liberated. That when you feel yourself to be a fool before your spiritual master and are always ready to be chastised him, that is liberated. And as soon as you think you're liberated, you know, I'm beyond being controlled by my spiritual master, beyond being chastised, then you're fallen. So, yeah, so this is the goal, to always be Tavabritya Sevam, the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And we always remain the servant of the servant eternally. That is Vaishnav conclusion. So we're all servants of Srila Prabhupada, but not just servants of Srila Prabhupada, servants going up, we're servants of his predecessors. So we're servant of the servant of the servant, because he's the servant of Bhakti Siddhanta. But we're servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, because Bhakti Siddhanta is the servant of Gaur Kishore. Gaur Kishore is the servant of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and all the way back to Krishna. But we're also the servants of the servant in the sense that we're the servants of Srila Prabhupada's servants. And that is our great fortune, to be associated with so many devotees of Srila Prabhupada, and to be able to serve them. So I'm glad that I got to serve Vaisheshika Prabhu, even though he changed me up. But still, I'm glad to be able to serve. Not that I really did any service, but try to serve you in the sense of sharing with you some of what I've heard from Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Maharaj, devotees feel fortunate when they're being chastised by another advanced or senior devotee when it's appropriate, or they should anyway. But how should a devotee feel if they get chastised by somebody who isn't in a position to chastise, or who wrongly chastises? How should a devotee feel that?
Well, I think the critical question is whether the person being chastised wrongly or not. Because even someone who's a more junior devotee, even someone who's not a devotee at all, can chastise us rightly. And if he's chastising us rightly, we should take it that our spiritual master is chastising us through the person, or Krishna is chastising us through the person. There is one devotee who is a Sankirtan devotee in France, and he said that he found that the people that he met on Sankirtan would actually mirror him when he was on Sankirtan. And for example, someone might say, oh, you know, all you care about is money. You just want money. And when someone would say that, he would look within himself, and he would find that, yes, you know, there was some contamination there. I was starting to think of the money more than the benefit of the person. And he took it that that Krishna was correcting him through the person on Sankirtan, who was just, from our point of view, an ordinary person. So that way we should be open, you know, to being corrected by the spiritual master through other people. But sometimes it may happen that they criticize us, that someone might criticize us, not because we're really doing something wrong, but because they have some problem with what we're doing, but we're not really doing anything wrong. So we do have to be intelligent enough to distinguish. Like when I first went to Madras, I was preaching the way I heard Prabhupada preach. And Madras was really full of Mayavadis. I mean, it was like, really full of Mayavadis. And they were, you know, many of them were intellectual types, because there had always been so much fighting between the Vaishnavites and Shaivites. And so they took the position, oh, what is this petty quarreling, you know, one group is saying Shiva is supreme and the other group is saying that Vishnu is supreme. They're all the same. You know, God is one, he has no name, he has no form. And so they thought they were above, you know, the squabbles of the Vaishnavites and the Shaivites. So after some time I heard that there was an undercurrent of protest about the way I was preaching, saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are his eternal servants, and that the only way to achieve him is through pure devotional service. So there was criticism. And even many of our good friends were sort of saying, you know, don't criticize others, just say in a positive way what you want about your mission and about your practices, but don't criticize others. And so I started to get influenced I started to think maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something, because everyone was saying it, you know, even our friends were saying it. So one day, I've told this story before, but anyway. So one day I finally decided, okay, I'm not going to criticize. I'm just going to do what they say. I'm just going to speak positively about Krishna consciousness. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to get into any arguments. So I had an appointment with a big businessman, and I went to his office, which was in the same compound as his residence, and you know, I showed him the pictures of our activities, put the books on his table. Prabhupada said, if you just put the books on their table, they'll become life members. And, you know, everything was going smoothly, and I took out the form. I thought, okay, so far so good. And then he said, what about Shankaracharya? He was one of the great acharyas of India. Why haven't you said anything about him? I said, yes, he was one of the great acharyas. You know, I didn't want to say anything that would offend anybody. But he kept insisting, you know, why are you not mentioning him? You know, you should mention him. And I couldn't avoid it. And I had to bring out the whole thing. That Shankaracharya was actually an incarnation of Shiva, and that he appeared to bring the Buddhists to accept the Vedic authority again, but because the Buddhists were atheists, he preached a veiled form of atheism in personal philosophy. And I even opened up teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We didn't have Chaitanya Charitamrita yet. And I showed him quotations, you know, from the Padma Purana you know, he was like really adamant. He said, oh, now you're offending Shankaracharya, you're saying he's teaching atheism, and, you know, it's like getting worse and worse. So I thought, well, there's no use continuing, because whatever I say is just making him more agitated. So, you know, I just put the books back in the briefcase, put the pictures back in the briefcase, put the form back in the briefcase, close the briefcase, and said, well, it was nice meeting you. And I think I'll go now. So he said, started to walk me towards the door, and as we were getting towards the door, he said, before you go, I want to show you my deities. I thought, oh no. He's going to have a Shiva Linga, and if I don't bow down, he's going to get offended. And if he offers me prasad, and if I don't accept the prasad, he's going to be offended. So I thought how to avoid it, but I couldn't. I said, okay. So he led me into the residential area, and he took me. The deity room was actually quite big. It was maybe almost as big as the next room here. It was very big, and it had a big raised platform, marble platform, and on the platform were big deities of Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna are very rare in Madras. Most of the Vaishnav temples are Vishnu. And, wow, so I offered obeisances. What a relief to see Radha and Krishna. Really. So then I looked at him, like, you know, and he said, actually, my family and so many generations of my family have been devotees of Radha and Krishna. And then he said, actually, I was just testing you. And you have passed the test. So I will be very pleased to become your life member. So then we went back to his table. I opened the briefcase, took out the form, and he filled it up, paid the whole amount in one check, and it was great. So then when I left, I was thinking, well, maybe I wasn't doing the wrong thing. But I still wasn't quite sure because so many people were saying the same thing. I thought maybe Krishna was telling me something. And then when I got back to the place where I was staying, there was a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And in the letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that my Guru Maharaj, because I explained the whole situation in my letter to him. So Srila Prabhupada wrote back that my Guru Maharaj never compromised. And similarly, I shall never compromise. And similarly, none of my disciples should ever compromise. But we must declare it boldly that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all others are his servants. And people should not foolishly dream of peace or prosperity unless they're ready to surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh yeah, and he said, the fact is that I'm the only person in India who's openly criticizing not only impersonalism and demigod worship, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. So then, I knew that what I was doing was confirmed by Srila Prabhupada, and I could appreciate his position. He was the only one in India. He was like preaching so boldly, without compromise. So we do have to be able to distinguish whether Krishna is actually trying to correct us through someone, or whether Maya's testing us. Now, as far as our relations with each other, we may do something that will upset another devotee, and the devotee may chastise us. And it may not be that what we did was wrong, in an absolute sense. But at the same time, we don't want the other devotee to be upset. I mean, there are many intricacies and subtleties. So depending on who the devotee is and what the situation was, even though the devotee is wrongly chastising us, we can try to, like, tolerate and appease the devotee. Like when some of the residents of Navadvip put the paraphernalia of Durga Puja outside the door of Srivas Thakur to make the false case that he was pretending to be a Vaishnav, but actually he was a Shakta. He said, yes, you have caught me. Now you punish me as you think fit, you know. So we may, depending on the situation, we may just accept it just for the sake of pacifying the other person. If it's a matter of some interaction. But if it's a matter of a basic principle, but even then, the way things are now, devotees are not as respectful of authorities as they used to be, and therefore we can't really, we have to be more, maybe congenial or collegial the way we deal with them if they don't have faith. We can try to help them develop faith, and then when they develop more faith, we can instruct them more directly. But otherwise, we may, depending on the situation, pacify them or just sit down and just talk it out as if, without considering, well, yes, he'll know that you're more senior and you'll know that he's more junior, but it's sort of unspoken, like you just sort of talk as equals and try to figure it out. Once I happened to pass by Srila Prabhupada's room and I just overheard, and there was like a real argument going on. Srila Prabhupada was on one side of the table and Tamal Krishna Goswami and Gargamuni Swami were on the other side. And they were really fed up with India. I heard Gargamuni telling Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're just wasting your time here. We should just pack up and go. It was like really heavy, But never once did Prabhupada invoke his position as spiritual master, founder, acharya. But he just argued with them, And, they knew he was their spiritual master and they were his disciples, but, sometimes, qualified people, intelligent people have their opinions, and if we try to make everyone sort of yes men or yes women, it may be smoother, but then people aren't able to do much because, So, that struck me, that Prabhupada never invoked his position to subdue them or defeat them. He just argued. They gave their arguments and he gave his arguments. But everyone knew he was the final authority. Okay, so.
Okay, anything else?
Any of Kirtan?
Yeah.
Jai, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Or Premanandi.
Hare Hare.
So now.